joining us on the line, Dina Diamond. Dina, very, very good morning to you. How are you? How's your lockdown going?
Good morning, Howard. You know, not too bad, hey? I'm finding there's lots to do.
Really?
So I've actually, I am. And my kids have become very, I mean, we've had Nerf Wars. So there
was a yes, we had Nerf Wars.
Nerf
we
War, had, which was lots of fun.
Yeah, we only had one potentially dangerous injury with a Nerf War gun. But yeah, other than that, yeah, so far so good.
Yeah, no, and my teaming's going smashly. As I say, I bought boxes from Plasticland. I bought a labeling machine. So that's really in full swing. My kids finally sorted out stationery they've been trying to sort out for the last like 5 years. So yeah, I think we've actually found lots to do.
Yeah, that's incredible. So everything is being labeled, including the husband.
Yes, he was labeled long ago. So.
All right, but unfortunately, COVID-19 has had a terrible impact in many ways, and some of that is on various brands. And, of course, Edcon, anybody that who heard the CEO of Edcon giving his report, that was probably one of the most heart-wrenching, soul-destroying things I've heard. But he speaks for a lot of people. It was very, very scary. Give us your sense of what is going on now.
Yeah. So I mean, listen. I think there's no doubt that that COVID-19 has had a massive impact on so many businesses. I mean, the obvious ones, obviously, in the airlines, tourism, accommodation, hotel groups. We've seen different changes coming out from companies like Booking.com, etc. But I think from a retail perspective, people had imagined, I think, that life would just still carry on and people would still go shopping and that stores wouldn't suffer to that extent. However, now with more than 20% of the total world, the entire world in lockdown, they obviously malls have closed, shops have closed, anything that isn't seen as essential, like grocery, pharmacy, petrol, has actually completely closed down. So when you look at the impact of the retail sector at the moment, I mean, as you just mentioned, so Edcon, I mean, just some numbers coming out of that report from the CEO of Edcon. So there are 45%, this is at the time of the president's announcement that we're going into lockdown. Edcon were already 45% down and 400 million rand down on sales from the same time last year. For the 21 days of quarantine, they are going to lose a further 800 million rand in turnover during those days. And what he actually was saying, sorry.
No, carry on.
Okay, and what he was actually saying is that they've actually only got sufficient liquidity at the moment to pay salaries. So that whole talk he gave was also apologizing to suppliers that even though there are already orders placed, those orders may be returned and that they won't be able to pay for them. And he even apologized. He actually got quite emotional even at the end of his briefing.
I was very upset by the end of it.
Yeah, he listened. He was very upset, which you don't often hear from the CEO of such a big group really becoming quite emotional to apologize to the families and the people that it affects and the employers that they won't be able to actually fulfill it. So those orders. So I think a great turning point when you look at a company like Edcon, and he also said that he didn't know if they would survive. Again, also companies like Fashini coming out saying that they're not going to be paying their rent, having to look to landlords, and which obviously talks to the shopping malls where there are massive presence. You look at what Edcon, the amount of space that they have in malls, and you look at
And of course, Edcon, we know it's coming and going, but of course we know that Edcon was in serious trouble anyway. So that's the one thing that they didn't need in order to try and survive was this type of a hit.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the retail sector in general, globally, was already in a bit of a crunch where we've seen a movement from whatever they call bricks and mortar and people going now to shop more online. In fact, they've actually, up until last year, sorry, in 2019, they started calling it the retail apocalypse. Where in 2019, 9,300 stores were closed. And when you're looking at the US, you're looking at massive stores like Sears, Payless that actually filed for bankruptcy. And there was a 60% uptick anyway in the decline of bricks and mortar stores from the previous year. So we already saw that there was pressure for brick and mortar store. And now with digital, I think we're going to look at a massive change in retail going forward. And I say, and there's actually some reports coming out of Credit Suisse where they're saying that even though there's been this continuous movement from people shopping in store to shopping online, the actual people like over 60 and people who potentially were a bit more inclined to go into store and resistant. Want to, and sort of want to touch and feel, they're saying that the coronavirus is going to expedite that change in behavior and create structural changes in the industry to the point of where they think it'll actually make like they've already advanced it by 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's massive. Doubt. And I think you can see that with how people are working remotely as well. I think that's also part of it because if we look at if I look at my own experience working on Teams or Zoom or all of that, it was something I kind of just avoided because I like the personal side of things. I'd rather just chat to somebody or meet somebody, but now you have no choice. And all of a sudden I'm becoming proficient and comfortable to scoot my way around Teams or Zoom or something else. And I'm one of millions and millions of people who are doing exactly the same. I see it with school teachers who have been traditionally so resistant or especially the older teachers, maybe not resistant, but uncomfortable with technology. They now have no choice and they're conducting their lessons on Zoom and all seems to be going fairly well. The sky hasn't fallen. So, as you say, I think 5 years is actually an interesting number.
Yeah, so again, you're right, people don't change and people like their habits and people who are resistant to change and not necessarily early adopters, sometimes it takes something really massive for them to actually change their behavior and sometimes they never change that behavior. And
now, I have to tell you the funniest thing. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you and I know I'm going to embarrass her.
Oh, used to that.
Zanati just sent a thing to say, is this the Zoom, a picture, is this the Zoom that we must get? And it's a picture of the Zoom app. Yes, Zanati. That
you.
Is the Zoom that we must get.
Thank you.
Zanati, welcome decided. To 2020.
I know. After much resistance, I've decided to just get with the program.
I have to tell you, Zoom is unbelievable. And again, works for business. And not only that, but my son, who's 8 years old, had a Zoom conversation with his class the other day. It was the most wonderful thing. I mean, obviously, when you have a Zoom conversation with 8-year-olds, they're all screaming into the phone at the same time. And the way it works on Zoom, for those of you who don't use Zoom, is that it shows all the pictures of the people on the call, but it goes to the person who's speaking. It's sound sensitive, so it picks up the person speaking. So obviously, with a whole bunch of 8-year-olds screaming all at the same time, it's a very entertaining call.
Yeah, but not so pleasant. But yes, Anati, that is the Zoom that everybody's talking about.
Thank you very much.
So welcome to that. So as you write, absolutely. So not only is retail changing, but the way people are engaging from a business point of view are changing. And it's actually showing you that you can be connected more than you ever have been before. So yes, Anati, you need to use Zoom. There was, I don't know if you caught the webcast last night from the Jewish Report of Dr. Sherry Fanaroff, Anton Myberg, Dave Abramson, so all your people.
I was just going to say, Dean, I'm surprised they didn't ask you. It seems like our texting went through all of my regular people and cherry picked the ones. So I think you should be offended actually. That
should I?
Yeah.
Listen,
so.
I have no medical background other than the constant requirements by my own family.
Right.
To be an in-house doctor. But no, the panel was outstanding and they did use Zoom.
Brilliant.
So, and it's amazing to see that over 900 people actually connected to that webinar to listen, to ask questions. Again, totally changing our behavior and the way we engage and interact with each other. So I think this COVID-19 has had many, many unintended consequences.
Well, interesting I just saw an article saying one of the beneficiaries of this of COVID-19 is the online coffee business. They're saying that for them it's basically like Christmas at the moment.
Really? What, in terms of instant coffee or
deliveries? Deliveries. I think they are saying that they've never sold more coffee in their lives. Books as well. Another Amazon They're selling a lot more. Rave Coffee, selling exotic coffees from an industrial unit, is having to take on more staff to cope because demand has doubled. We've had 11 members of staff. We need another 5. They say people are buying our coffee for their office supplies. Now they're getting it at home. There are interesting positives, but on the most part, I think people are struggling and businesses are struggling.
No, absolutely. I mean, there's no question about that. But I think, again, when you started talking about coffee's been an unintended, had an unintended boost of this. Right. I think also we look at industries where people didn't really, again, buy, I mean, you weren't really buying 20 bottles of hand sanitizer at a point or disinfectant soap. I mean, even if you've got normal hand soap, people are buying the hygiene one. You want to smell that soap is hygiene.
I want to smell like I've just been wheeled out of an anesthetic.
Oh yes, no, absolutely. And I think also, I had sent you a picture the other day of Sportsman's Warehouse, which I think also was a very interesting one, which was an unintended consequence, was the sports stores were inundated with people looking to buy treadmills, bikes, rowers, weights, BOSU, whatever you could actually get your hands on. The yoga mats were flying out.
I went into a Sportsman's Warehouse before the shutdown to get to ask for some dumbbells. It wasn't for me, so nobody need panic. It was for a friend. But I wasn't. Yeah, in the meantime, now I regret it because last night when I went to bed, I actually thought, you know what, my legs felt really like they needed to do some exercise, and I hadn't done any exercise yesterday. So there's no doubt that I am going to have to find a way today without those darn dumbbells in order to do that, because it's definitely a real requirement. But yes, so in gym equipment as well, I believe garden equipment as well, for people with gardens, they've decided that this is the time to do those projects that they've always wanted to do. So gardening equipment as well, apparently doing quite well at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I loved your comment to say that you hope that the Sportsman's Warehouse has a 22-day return policy.
Absolutely.
Because people always talk about their home equipment that they never use. And now, literally, that industry would never have got the sales that they did. I mean, they must have done 10 times, at least, their normal business, just on the sports equipment. But I think also what we need to look at is the supply chain management as well. So that's had a huge effect. So where brands as well always were, for example, 80% of toys all come out of China. So people who didn't, all the toy stores also had a run on their toys. But when we look at the supply chain, we're looking at, America, so Trump has always been going into, we must actually now start manufacturing locally. And he got a lot of pushback from that, Proud in the USA. And he got a lot of pushback from that. But any companies that did actually start moving their manufacturing to the U.S., actually benefited from the fact that their supply chain was all local. Whereas even if you're getting, if you're not getting the full, if you're manufacturing even in your own home country, but you're getting supplies and raw product from a country like China, when it shuts down, you don't have supply. So I think it's also getting brands now to look at redundancy and sort of maybe some backup plans, where as before, they all had their sort of model of supply and the supply chain was flowing sufficiently. I think that does get brands to relook and potentially look at sort of disaster management plans about how they could actually source alternative supplies or manufacturing.
Yeah, and what's also interesting is you're starting to see a lot of people saying, when we come back online, support South African businesses. Make sure that you do whatever you can to support South African production, etc. So I think there's also that desire to make sure not only are we self-sufficient, but that we get our own industries back on track. Right, we seem to have lost
Adina. I'm back again.
Oh, there we go.
Is a good thing.
Yeah, mostly. Yeah, but not always. We're going to be back in just a moment after. Time is 8:29. Karen M. Sent me this message. How would it try? YouTube walk at home. It's walking that even you could do in your lounge. What do you think she means by that, Dina? Even I could do.
I think she means that it's She knows that you like running. She knows that you like
running. Oh, so I see what you mean.
It's a potential opportunity for you even to walk.
It's a
gesture of kindness.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, Karen M. I will take that in the spirit for which, with which it was no doubt intended. Zanati, what do you think? Is that what you call throwing a bit of shade?
Shade, spice, all of it.
all of the above. Absolutely. Alright, Clive wants to know where Zoom was developed. It was developed in California, in the United States, and primarily around business originally, but I can see that it is now becoming something that people are using on all sorts of levels. So Dina, where do you think, I mean, obviously we no one's got a crystal ball. We don't know. And no matter how many times we ask the same question, we actually don't know where this is going to end. We don't know how long it's going to take, and we don't know what it's going to look like in about 3 or 4 weeks from now. So what does that mean to brands, given the fact that we better make ourselves comfortable living in a grey unknown area?
So yeah, you're right. I think the biggest issue with all of this is that it is completely unprecedented. It is the great unknown. And I think from a retailer perspective, again, they just don't know what's going to be enough or how long it's going to be enough. So the president said we're going into quarantine for 21 days lockdown. Retailers don't really know if that is going to be only 21 days. So they can only really plan for the existing situation. Like I think also the CEO of Edcon also only said that he can only plan for the current state and not for like too long into the distant future. Mm-hmm. But I think we are going to see a contraction in retailers. We are, department stores are under huge pressure. Dion Wyatt already went out of business before this. Right. I think we're going to see a lot of pressure on retailers. I think there will be some level of consolidation. I think there are, but also I think there is going to be an absolute requirement by states to create some sort of stimulus package, to some sort of rescue. Like, you know, you've got the states putting in $2 trillion at the moment to help businesses, to help individuals. And I think we are going to need that from government if they are to continue in its current state. Otherwise, we're going to see a massive issue with malls and space, and we're going to create zombie malls where there are not going to be any businesses. So I think it's going to be very challenging going forward.
And of course, for South Africa, we've had a collection. We are running a bit late, but excuse me, we have had a number of billionaires stepping forward. I think we are 3 or 4 billion rand now towards that fund, which is also a tremendous amount of money and so important. So important on a number of levels, not just obviously about the actual money, but also about the fact that South Africans are prepared to put their hands in their pockets to help other South Africans.
Listen, absolutely. I mean, families like the Oppenheimers, the Ruperts have all given substantial amounts of money to help South Africa, to ensure that the economy carries on going, to ensure that people remain in business or have some sort of financial aid. And I think that is a massive, massive sort of kudos to them, but also an absolute requirement if we are going to sort of pick ourselves up after this and become viable as an economy. We got downgraded by Moody's over the weekend, really not boding well either. Terrible timing for us.
I think they should have waited. I thought that was completely unnecessary.
Completely unnecessary. I agree with you.
In the whole lockdown, they had to have that meeting. Really?
I actually agree with you. I do wonder why they couldn't just wait. So I did have this argument with someone and they were like, no, well, it's the way the world works and it's the financial markets. But
nothing is working the way the world has always worked. Absolutely not. The world is not working the way it worked.
I agree.
There would have been absolutely good enough reason. Nobody would have been perturbed if they didn't have their meeting to downgrade South Africa. I think it was, appalling, actually.
Okay. In poor taste, I would say. In
very, very poor taste, Moody's. Really, indeed. It is 8:34, Dina Diamond. Thank you, as always.